As you may already know, the Museum of Broadcast Communications is open at 440 West Randolph in the West Loop, right across from Ogilvie Station. Easy to get to on the Metro, with new exhibits including Johnny Carson, The Centennial, The Evolution of Late Night Television, I Dream of Jeannie's 65th Anniversary, Bozo at 65, and 5 decades of The Loop Radio, and more. And now, if you want to visit tomorrow, Black Friday through Sunday, I'm going to give you a $2 off coupon code for your admission. Just use code WGN Radio when you buy your tickets at museum.tv, and that's through this Sunday only. Museum.tv, promo code WGN Radio for $2 off your admission price to go this weekend, Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. Now, with the Carson exhibit, there's also a new book out called Love Johnny Carson. Carson aficionado and the host of the Carson podcast, Mark Malkoff, has amassed more Carson stories from original sources than anyone in entertainment history, speaking to over 400 individuals. And now in the book, Love Johnny Carson, he sets the record straight in this comprehensive portrait of Carson's life, career, legacy, and character. And to talk about this new book is Mark Malkoff. Mark, how are you? Happy Thanksgiving to you.
Oh, happy Thanksgiving. I'm doing great. It's nice to talk to you, sir.
You know, I will tell you, it was great talking to you at the museum when you did the book signing a few weeks back, and people were really excited to talk to you and meet you and get your book there. And I will say that this book is a labor of love for Johnny, and the title speaks for itself, and there's kind of a simple story behind the title, right?
I mean, I talked to, yes, over 400 people, and they kept saying over and over again, I love Johnny Carson. I talked to his staff. I talked to the crew. I talked to guests like Mel Brooks, who was on the very first show. I mean, Johnny's friends. And it was very, very consistent. I have to say, my visit to your Museum of Broadcast Communications, that Carson exhibit blew me away. I thought I knew everything about Carson. I'm probably the Carson expert.
You are.
The top. And I just was, when I was there, you outdid yourself. That, and I have to say, Bozo at 65, because I was on the Bozo show in third grade, Arlington Heights, Illinois. I've been telling everybody they need to see this. They need to go to this exhibit.
Oh, it's so nice of you. I so appreciate that. Well, I was waiting, you know, really waiting for your visit to say, yeah, this is great. And you were really excited. And I appreciate the kind words. Thank you, sir.
Oh, it's the truth. And I know Robert Smigel loved it. Triumph the Insult Comic Dog. And I've known Robert since I was a teenager, and he's another one that's a huge champion of what you're doing.
Yeah, we couldn't quite get him out of there. He's like, I got to come back. And I know he also said he wants to do a benefit for us of some sort. So I'm very excited about that as well. But you have some background even working for some of the late night shows over the years, right?
I did. I had a day job at Letterman. I was there for 11 months and 15 days, but who's counting? And I had a day job at the Colbert Report. So I was with Stephen Colbert for almost 4 years, and we used to always talk about Chicago. I mean, he was at Second City, and it's near and dear to him, and he's very well represented in your museum.
Yeah, very much so. Very, very much so. And, you know, I will say your passion for this subject and this terrific book is really unmatched. Like, how did you get into all this to begin with, Mark?
I was in Arlington Heights, and my dad would let me stay up on Friday nights sometimes and watch Carson, sometimes during the summer months. And there was just something so likable about this guy. He'd be with animals. He'd talk to kids. He'd talk to people that weren't famous. Then he'd talk to A-list actors and comedians. And it was this party. And they would do these primetime anniversary shows. And it was so much fun to see these clips. And it was unbelievable to see the moments. And I had a lot of questions about what went on behind the show. So I didn't realize that everybody would want to talk to me. So I was in Los Angeles, all over the place in people's homes. I was with everyone from Carl Reiner, Mel Brooks, Carol Burnett, and they all wanted to kind of just tell me their stories about how much they loved him. So I collected all the stories, and we put it in a book with chronological Carson's first 10 years in New York and then 20 in Burbank, and just kind of behind the stories. Like, you know, he had a writer, Pat McCormick, who ran across naked during Johnny's monologue, and it was like a backstory. How did this happen? Yeah. What led to this moment? So it's a lot of just explaining on how things came about.
Well, you're not even talking just about celebrities, too, and I want to dive into that when we come back. But Irving Davis, just share that story with folks. Nobody knows who he is, but he was a big behind-the-scenes guy for Johnny.
Irving Davis had a very big responsibility, which was to hold the curtain open for Johnny for 20 years in Burbank. Awesome. And I always wanted to know what was going on behind the curtain and who was this guy. He told me Johnny would just be there telling him jokes and they'd just really lose. Johnny would be smoking a cigarette. Normally he chain smoked for most of his life. But he would just be hanging out, and then you couldn't tell there were nerves there, whereas David Letterman was always a kind of nervous and afraid to go out, where Johnny just couldn't wait to get in front of that crowd. And it almost seems like he relished the audience when they wouldn't laugh at a joke because he could be funnier and show his wit. Even a bigger laugh when it didn't work. But his skill set remains unmatched as a late-night host.
Mark Melkoff is the author. The new book is Love Johnny Carson. You can buy the book at museum.tv at the Broadcast Museum store and at your local bookseller. So you talk a lot about Johnny's relationships with people in this book. And I want to say, like, overall, I mean, Johnny was a very, very loyal person, wasn't he?
That's what people said. The people that knew him the best had loyalty, and they all said, all of them said constantly that he was almost the same Johnny you would see on and off off camera, which was very surprising for me to hear. But they told me that he might have been a little less gregarious, but he was almost the same person. But it was a very small group of people that Johnny felt comfortable with. He was so famous that it was really hard to get to kind of keep up his guard here and there. But they all told me loyalty was the most important thing.
Yeah, a lot of folks have said, or it's been said about Johnny, that, like, much like David Letterman too, not very social off camera, much quieter. You know, he really turned it on. But his personality, I think, is what you're saying, was pretty consistent throughout, behind the camera and in front of it.
Yeah, I did. And Johnny played in two poker games. One of the poker games he played was Carl Reiner, Chevy Chase, Steve Martin, Barry Diller, Neil Simon. And yeah, it was just laughs. I mean,
I bet
Johnny was more social than people think.
You know, and when I was reading the book, there's some great stories in here. And I want to first, just chronologically here, want to talk. In 1971, you talk about when Johnny was still doing the show in New York City. There's a story about Jilly Rizzo, Joe Gallo. Share who Joe was and what you researched here, because you really did a deep dive on some of these stories that have been lore for a long time.
Yeah, I tried my best. So Joe Gallo was a mafia, a gangster who had just gotten out of prison for 10 years, and everyone was afraid of this guy. And Johnny Carson, he would talk on the Tonight Show about his struggles with drinking. He was a bad drunk. Johnny was at Jilly's, had too much to drink, and hit on a woman. And it turned out it was Joe Gallo's girlfriend. Joe Gallo just got out of prison, was in the bathroom, comes back, and Johnny was gone, and Gallo put a hit on his life. And it was very, very complicated what had to happen. But Sinatra stepped in. Frank Sinatra and Johnny were friends, and Sinatra was called in and made peace. And Joe Gallo basically said, you tell Carson he only lives and breathes because of Frank Sinatra. And
wow.
Yeah, they had to, NBC News had to, for one of the top mafia bosses, who was Joe Colombo, they had to air a positive story on NBC News about Joe Colombo, which I watched. There was no reason for them to put this story on NBC News. So yes, Johnny was 25% of NBC's profits at one point. So he was their golden cow. So they really had to step in and save his life.
Amazing, because, you know, when I look back at, like, how many times Sinatra was on The Tonight Show, he was more on with guest hosts than with Johnny. Like, he didn't make a lot of appearances on there.
He only went on with Johnny one time scheduled, one time he made a cameo. He was supposed to do it when Johnny actually decided he was going to do The Tonight Show live indefinitely. And he changed his mind at the last minute, and Sinatra canceled on that. But they were friends, and Johnny always felt he owed Sinatra. When Sinatra produced Reagan's inaugural, Johnny didn't want to do it. But Sinatra asked him, and he said, you know, I have to say yes, it's Frank Sinatra.
You know what I would like to see? I would like to see Jeff Satzing put out some of the guest hosts, maybe in a different series, a different so forth, because there were so many interesting people behind the desk when Johnny would take off.
You never knew who was going to be anyone from Michael Landon to Cass Elliott to Bobby Darin to Diana Ross. you'd be watching The Tonight Show, and there would suddenly be everyone from Jack Klugman to Harvey Korman to Lorenzo Lamas hosting The Tonight Show. And it was, and Johnny would get a kick out of it because he would watch at home, and these people would be trying to do his job, and so many of them couldn't do it.
Yeah.
Chevy Chase tried once in 1986 and told Johnny a month later it was the hardest thing he ever had to do. He said, no one will be the next Johnny Carson. And I guess Chevy forgot about how hard it was because a couple years later he tried and lasted 26 episodes.
Yeah, money talks sometimes. But, you know, we know about the guest hosts that were, I think one of the most frequent was John Davidson, and it was also Bob Newhart. Bob said during one of Carson's contract negotiations, they had him hosting for two plus weeks at a time. And he said, and they were trying to groom him for it in case the contracts didn't
that's
work
true.
Out. And he said, I can't do it. I'd lose my family. I'd never see my kids. I'm not doing this job, which might be an explanation for Johnny's life too, you know.
It was all-consuming. Gary Shandling said nobody knows how exhausting this job is. It's one of the reasons he turned down getting the permanent guest hosting job, and I went to Jay Leno because Shandling knew what it was going to cost something. I mean, I think Newhart was very wise to do that because Johnny put all his energy in The Tonight Show as you had to, and it affected his marriages. It affected his kids. I mean, he was even hosting the Oscars. He did some side projects here and there, and it was all-consuming. I do want to mention, he was the only host of the Oscars that did not use cue cards or a teleprompter.
Amazing.
Johnny would edit the jokes in his head accordingly on how the audience was laughing. I mean, the guy was brilliant.
Yes.
But he put, again, all his time and effort into his career, and something was going to suffer.
So many great stories in this book. The book is Love, Johnny Carson. I'm telling you, it makes a great holiday gift. Get them wherever books are sold. And as I noted earlier, the Museum of Broadcast Communications at 440 West Randolph in the West Loop. It's right across from Ogilvy. Easy to get to on the Metro. New exhibits on Johnny Carson and the evolution of late night television. You can buy the book there as well. But if you want to go, and this is only good Black Friday through this coming Sunday, I'll give you $2 off your admission. Just use the code WGN Radio when you buy your tickets at museum.tv for any of those 3 days through Sunday. Again, the museum, the promo code is WGN Radio for $2 off your admission price. Mark, thank you. Happy Thanksgiving to you and yours, and appreciate your time this morning.
Dave, it's so good talking to you. Happy holidays, my friend.
Thank you. Same to you. All right, news is next here on 720 WGN.